You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
January the 28th, 2020. In about 1 hour, President Trump's legal team will continue their arguments in front of the Senate as we continue the impeachment trial. Harvard Professor Emeritus Alan Dershowitz spending a lot of time yesterday laying out constitutionally why this is totally wrong and misguided. I'm going to share some of his remarks with you a little bit later over the next 2 hours. And if you're looking for a clear and evident example of how much liberals hate you if you're a Trump supporter, or even if you think you might support him, where there's a naked lib hate on display on CNN and NN over the night, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later as well. Dr. Gerard Lomero will be joining us. Now, he had predicted that Donald Trump would win in January 2016. In January 2016, there were still, 15, 16 GOP candidates? And he predicted at that point Trump was going to win before the GOP primary. Before it was official, Trump would carry the Democrat banner. Of course, there's no surprise that Hillary was going to carry the Democrat banner, but it was before it was official that she would carry the banner. Now Dr. Lomero is coming forward, already acknowledging previously on this program Donald Trump will win by a considerable number of electoral votes, way more than he'll need. And now Dr. Lomero is stepping forward to announce who will be facing Donald Trump in the general election. He's got a very good track record, not only in calling the number of electoral votes, but which states go which way. You'll want to hear his prediction coming up a little bit later. And Fred Flights, the Center for Security Policy, is often a guest on this program. He is a former staff administrator for John Bolton. In fact, he had pushed for his boss, old boss, John Bolton, to be Secretary of State. That didn't happen. But Bolton was tapped by Trump at one point to head up the National Security Council, to be his national security advisor. And then they had a parting of ways. And President Trump's opinion is, well, Bolton probably didn't like it, so this book he's got out probably is trying to damage me. John Bolton has this book out, and now it's being leaked in advance of its March release. And his longtime friend, Fred Flights, has to come forward and say, I regret to do this, but John Bolton is wrong in what he's doing here. He said, I don't believe Bolton had anything to do with the leaking, but he's wrong to even try to get this published in advance of the 2020 election. Fred cannot join us directly today because he's at a White House meeting right now. But he is going to talk to us tomorrow, but I do want to still lay out some of his arguments today. We will have more on the Colby crash, what happened with that helicopter in the final moments. And also on this date, 1986, a U.S. tragedy. The Space Shuttle Challenger exploding. I want to take you back to that event and share remarks from then President Ronald Reagan. He made his remarks on the very night he was supposed to be delivering the State of the Union address. Also coming up over the next 2 hours, the number one issue for California voters going into 2020 election. This is an issue that is in their face daily. They don't know what to do about it. all their elected Democrats that are running their cities and counties and state have their hands up in the air. They don't know what to do about it. So this has now become the number one issue for California voters. Oh, and our boots on the ground correspondent, Andrew in Chicago, sent me an interesting little piece that's circulating on the internet. Some wording going back as a text message, fake text message. Hey, Scott, it's John with Bernie 2020. We're building a movement to create a government and an economy that works for all of us, not just wealthy campaign contributors. Are you in for Bernie? No. Okay, I understand. Do you mind telling me who you plan on supporting? Probably your entire family if Bernie wins. Perfect. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The key point in this impeachment case, please understand what I'm arguing, is that purely non-criminal conduct, including abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, are outside the range of impeachable offenses. That is the key argument I'm presenting today.
The words of Alan Dershowitz, Harvard professor emeritus, speaking about his interpretation of the Constitution and these charges for impeachment leveled against the president, leveled against the president by House managers and House Democrats. And the managers for the House, of course, had 3 days to present their case, to the point where they got redundant to no end whatsoever. They told everybody what they're going to say, and they told them what they wanted to say, and then they told them what we did say. It got very strung out. It does not appear Republicans are going to do that. They're not going to use, but maybe part of today, and they'll be done. Yesterday and today. And yesterday did feature Alan Dershowitz with his interpretation of the law. There are a couple things that have been in play. One of them you should keep in mind, because Dershowitz also brought it up. He has never voted for Donald Trump. While he's testifying during the Republicans' rebuttal and their defense that there's no reason to impeach President Trump, he has not supported President Trump with his vote. In fact, he's voted for Hillary Clinton. And he's been a conservative all of his life. I mean, a liberal Democrat all of his life. But that was something he thought he should also address, because he wanted the senators to realize, I'm trying to tell you a legitimate interpretation of the Constitution based on what it says, not what I want it to say. The words of Alan Dershowitz.
I stand against the application and misapplication of the constitutional criteria in every case and against any president without regard to whether I support his or her parties or policies. I would be making the very same constitutional argument had Hillary Clinton, for whom I voted, been elected and had a Republican House voted to impeach her on these unconstitutional grounds.
Pretty clear. Saying I'm not interested in playing politics. I'm trying to give you the law. Well, one of the presidential candidates locked up in the Senate, Elizabeth Warren, said basically the remarks by Dershowitz were nonsensical, at least to the extent I can't understand what he's trying to say. Her statement is Dershowitz's characterization of the law simply is unsupported. He is a criminal law professor who stood in the well of the Senate and talked about how law never inquires into intent and that we should not be using the president's intent as part of understanding impeachment. Now, she is also a former Harvard Law School professor. Of course, she got in by claiming she was part Native American Indian. Oh, she did. She denied that she tried to ever use that as a ploy, but she did to the extent that when the Harvard School put her on the board or put her in as one of the professors, they made a notation. First minority American Indian serving at Harvard. But anyway, she continued that criminal law is all about intent. She said that's the very basis of it. So it makes his whole presentation just nonsensical. I truly could not follow it. And I'm not surprised she has an issue following anything. Of course, keep in mind, Elizabeth Warren, along with Senator Bernie Sanders and Senator Klobuchar and Senator Bennett of Colorado, are locked down in the Senate while all this goes on. They cannot go out campaigning. So that means former Vice President Joe Biden and Buttigieg and Bloomberg and Yang and Steyer can roam about the country as they feel free to try to collect votes. Well, these senators are locked down, and here's something that might lock them down even longer. All of this noise about the John Bolton book being leaked by the New York Times, suggesting that the president told Bolton directly to withhold the money until we get what we want from Ukraine, just withhold it, withhold all the supplies, military, until they get an investigation. Those are the words supposedly from Bolton's book. He has not confirmed it. And he and his lawyer insist we did not leak it. We gave it to members of the Ethics Committee and the National Security Office that are supposed to review all such books before they go public to make sure there's nothing in there that would be in violation and expose any government secrets. But it got leaked. The New York Times reporter writing the story still hasn't seen the book. He's quoting people who have read it. And the leak, I have no doubt in my mind where it originated. Do you remember Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, brought up by the Democrats during the Adam Schiff show, bringing him forward as one of those maligned and hurt by President Trump's decisions? His brother works in the National Security Ethics Committee group and would have had access to that book when it came across the transom. And he has an office pretty much just across the hall from his military brother. Do you imagine that? Well, I'll leave it to your imagination. If it got in the hands of one of the Vindemans, it got into the hands of somebody that would then turn leak it to the New York Times. Or maybe they did it directly. The attitude of the legal team for Donald Trump at this point is dismissing the Bolton book. Just said it means nothing, it has nothing, and to that extent, even Alan Dershowitz dealt with it. His statement, nothing in the Bolton revelations, even if true, would rise to the level of abuse or an impeachable offense. That is clear from history. But, of course, that means nothing to the Democrats and some Republicans. Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois, Democrat, pushing back on Dershowitz's remarks about the book, he said, I would just say, Professor Dershowitz, Harvard law professor with great credentials in criminal law, standing before us waving Blackstone's book, and quoting him to have us say to us, don't bring a witness in. There's nothing he could possibly say of importance or relevance. Give me a break, professor. And, of course, by that, they're talking about getting John Bolton to testify before the Senate, especially now that the book information got leaked early enough for them to be discussing it now during the Senate part of the impeachment trial. The timing is perfect if you're trying to find additional ammunition to destroy the presidency. But whether or not the book lives up to the hype we've been told and the remarks from Bolton, according to Dershowitz, it still means nothing. Supposedly, in the book, the former National Security Advisor Bolton says Trump ordered him to maintain a hold on U.S. military aid to Ukraine until it agreed to investigate former Vice President Biden. One Democrat coming out today and saying, hey, how stupid are we going to look? How stupid are we going to look if we decide to wrap this up and we never get to call Bolton and then the book comes out in March and it proves our case? How stupid will we look? Well, you're already pretty close to looking stupid, in my opinion. But aside from that, there are also some Republicans now saying, yeah, this book and the timing of the leak, we're going to have Bolton come in. So the debate over bringing witnesses into this trial is still very much in the air. And of course, Alan Dershowitz in his presentation yesterday tried to make it clear that regardless of who you bring in, regardless of what you think you want to do, you don't have a case. You just don't have a case. And to that extent, he pointed out how Congresswoman Maxine Waters was a perfect example of trying to make a case out of nothing.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters recently put it more succinctly in the context of a presidential impeachment. Here's what she said. Impeachment is whatever Congress says it is. There is no law. But this lawless view would place Congress above the law. It would place Congress above the Constitution. For Congress to ignore the specific words of the Constitution itself and substitute its own judgments would be for Congress to do what it is accusing the president of doing. And no one is above the law, not the president and not Congress.
That's a perfect point, because we hear them always shouting, no one's above the law, which I would agree with. But Maxine Waters was the attitude that we don't have to have a law. We could just do it anyway. In other words, Dershowitz just said Congress can't suddenly decide it's a law. They're not above the law. Right now, the biggest thing that is echoing and reverberating throughout that Senate right now is the Bolton book and the leak and what it means not only to what the case is now, but to bringing Bolton in as a witness and others. Senator Ted Cruz has made it very clear, if you were going to bring in a witness on the Democrat side, We want reciprocity. We will bring in a witness on our side. And he's already made it clear that it's going to be the whistleblower, Hunter Biden, and maybe even Joe Biden. But Dershowitz, again, is trying to make it clear to everyone. The House managers, when they put this case together, and now they say they want witnesses. Well, of course, now they're claiming the Bolton's entirely new case. And the timing again, the leak, it's more than suspect. But Dershowitz insisted yesterday, what you did in trying to build your case, you ignored everything.
This is a realistic threat to all future presidents who serve with opposing legislative majorities that could easily concoct vague charges of abuse or obstruction. The fact that a long list of presidents that were accused of abuse of power were not impeached demonstrates how selectively this term has and can be used in the context of impeachment. I'm sorry, House managers, you just picked the wrong criteria. You picked the most dangerous possible criteria to serve as a precedent for how we supervise and oversee future presidents.
There you go. You picked the wrong criteria. We'll take a break, and when we come back, let's talk about this Bolton book and the response of Fred Flights, longtime staff member and friend of John Bolton. Please stand by. Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
And they say you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit into the wind. You don't pull a mask off an old Lone Ranger. And you don't mess around with Jim. I don't do that.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We've had Fred Flights, the president, CEO, Center for Security, former CIA analyst, on this program numerous times. He's always good. He has a long-term relationship, 30 years, in relationship of as a friend of John Bolton, who had been the national security staffer for President Trump until they had a parting of ways. And now the book that Bolton has out that's due officially to be released in March, apparently parts have been leaked that suggest that Bolton was told directly by the president, Ukraine gets nothing until I get what I want. Now, Fred Flights had put an article in a column up for Fox News, and I took note of it immediately, and he was chastising his old friend. I wanted to get him on the air, and he was all set to go, but then he said, Larry, I'm going to the White House. This was yesterday. I was reaching out to him. He said, I'm going to the White House tomorrow for a noontime rollout of the new Middle East peace plan. I have to get there early. I don't know when it's over. So he cannot be with us today. He will join us tomorrow. At least that's a plan. But what he did do yesterday, last night, because of the column written for Fox News, he did appear with Laura Ingraham, and he talked about the fact that he had to basically attack his old friend.
I didn't take any pleasure in writing this piece today, but I believe that the concept that presidents have to be able to confide in their national security advisors and be able to knock around ideas, this is extremely important. We want the president to consult the best possible advisors and know that whatever he discusses with them isn't going to appear in the press or in books. So the best thing here would be Ambassador Bolton to pull this book until Mr. Trump leaves office, or at least until after the election.
That was what he was saying last night, Fred Flights. And also in that same interview, the question was raised, as we raised it also here yesterday, would Bolton and his publisher have had a part in, quote, leaking it, trying to get advanced publicity before the book actually hits in March? Here's Fred's response as it was asked of him last night on Fox News.
I take Ambassador Bolton and his team at their word that they didn't leak it, but look, sending something so sensitive to the White House during an impeachment hearing and all the bureaucrats that would review it. I'm afraid it was an invitation for a leak. There's a report now that there were many paper copies made in the National Security Council. If that's true, heads should roll on the NSC. This should have been very carefully. Like, that doesn't excuse the decision to send it to the NSC at all.
And I fully agree with Fred. As I said, he cannot be with us. He's at this moment at a noontime meeting at the White House, but hopefully we'll have him on the air tomorrow. The Trump legal team has been dismissing the Bolton book. You've got the Democrats saying, oh, now this means we've got to have Bolton for sure. Some Republicans who were not that big on having any witnesses are now thinking, yeah, let's get Bolton in here. And if it happens, then this thing is going to drag out. And for those four senators, locked down, can't use their phones, can't text, trying to campaign, Sanders, Warren, Klobuchar, and Bennett, they should know that if you start bringing in witnesses, Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana said, you get ready for another week of this, a week or more. We'll take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about how the Democrats really are turning their back on what they should be endorsing. It's a strange situation right now. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
In the next hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Gerard Lamero, as I said in the opening monologue for this hour. In January of 2016, when there were still at least 15, maybe 17 GOP candidates at that time, Trump being one of them, Gerard Lamero predicted at that point Donald Trump would win the nomination and end up winning the election. He's already predicted that Trump will win the election this time around in 2020, even coming up with specific electoral vote counts. We've had him on the air discussing that. But now he thinks he's certain as to who's going to represent the Democrat Party against Donald Trump. That'll be coming up in the next hour. In the meantime, the Democrat Party of today is not your grandfather's party, is not even the Obama Party anymore. Obama basically would not be welcome in what they're trying to do with the Democrat Party. It's a far cry from what JFK would have been. It's very clear, just in an example of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman from New York, who stated just recently that the Democratic Party is, quote, a center or center conservative party, and there is no longer a left party in the U.S. Her exact statement, we don't have a left party in the U.S. The Democratic Party is not a left party. And she got applause from the audience. The Democratic Party is a center or a center conservative party. And again, more applause. The Democrat squad members, along with her, continue to push that left envelope to the extent that you see her endorsing Bernie Sanders. She appeared with him this last weekend at Ames, Iowa. And you've got them coming out and pushing folks like Bernie Sanders to move a little farther left even than maybe what he was, or locked down in that position. But the greatest example is what's happened with Joe Biden. Joe Biden moving his views on abortion and funding because he's worried about not getting enough votes from that extreme left, and he thinks, I'm going to need them. And it's very clear, there are Democrat members that are pro-life. They may or may not be one-issue voters in the past, but that might change this time around. Let me give you an example of what happened recently with Democrat presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg. He was at a Fox Town Hall Sunday night. A pro-life Democrat asked Buttigieg, do you want the support of people like me? And he said, I'm not going to try to earn your vote by tricking you. I am pro-choice, and I believe that a woman ought to be able to make that decision. And, of course, the crowd applauded. He said, the best I can offer is if we can't agree on where to draw the line, the next best thing we could do is agree on who should draw the line. And in my view, it's a woman faced with that decision in her life. I want to repeat for you what I've always said. Every person that stands before me and says, I'm for abortion, my response is, well, if your mother had made that decision, you wouldn't be here to talk to me, would you? And Ronald Reagan had also pointed out, it seems that everybody for abortion has already been born. So this pro-life Democrat later was asked, are you satisfied with the answer he gave you? And she said, no. She said, the Democrat platform contains language that basically says, we don't belong. We have no part in the party. Because it says abortion should be legal up to 9 months and the government should pay for it. She said in 1996 and several years after, there was language in the Democrat platform that said, quote, we understand that people have very differing views on this issue, but we are a big tent party that includes everybody and therefore we welcome you, people like me, she said, into the party so we can work on issues we agreed on. She said, I support the position of my... I supported that. Buttigieg's response again is, I support the position of my party, which is nothing to do with pro-life. And they always want to frame it in the, well, it's the woman's right. What about the unborn if that's a female? Where's that woman to be right? The president of the Susan B. Anthony List, one of the largest pro-life groups in the U.S., national co-chair for Pro-Life Voices for Trump 2020, added this. Such callous narrow-mindedness is, quote, number one, so wrong on the merits and given the beautiful now-passed Democrat legacy of defending the little guy, and two, giving away a key component of an election-winning voter base. Adding that the 2016 Democrat platform leaves little wiggle room on the issue. The party is not representing a large segment going forward. Most black Americans, according to every survey, most black Americans are anti-abortion. It's against their religion. in many cases. And yet, there are numerous black abortions. But for politicians on the Democrats' side trying to run out and pull in black votes, if they decide to make this an issue-oriented decision, forget Trump, even forget jobs, just abortion, they're going to lose a large number. But they're confident they've got enough far, far left that they will survive. I'm looking at a piece written by Ezra Klein under the Armwood Editorial and Opinion blog, and stating, American politics has been dominated by the Democratic and Republican parties since the Civil War. That gives us the illusion of stability that today's political divisions cut roughly the same lines as yesteryear. But in recent decades, the two parties have been changing, and fast. Those changes are ideological. The Democratic Party has moved left. The Republican Party has moved right. But more fundamentally, Democrats have become more diverse, urban, young, secular. Republican Party turning itself into a vehicle for whiter, older, more Christian, more rural voters. I disagree entirely with that statement. The Republican Party is a big tent party. Would it be majority of whites in there? Yep. If you look at just the election results of 2016, as to how many whites versus blacks voted for Trump. He got 8% of the black vote, but the majority went to Hillary. But that doesn't mean it's trying to be whiter or even more Christian to that extent. The problem, as I just laid out for you, there are Democrats that don't want to be locked into abortion and agreeing with it. They may or may not be Catholic. It may or not be a religious decision for them. It may be a moral decision. Or they may decide, look, I'm far abortion up to a point, but the far, far left has gotten so hard left that they're willing to have infanticide. Fourth term abortions, as acknowledged in Virginia and New York State. And the governor of Virginia, who made it clear that, yes, if we're trying to have an abortion and the baby is born anyway at that point, we'll make the baby as comfortable as possible, acknowledging it's a baby at that point, and there'll be a consultation with the parents, or specifically the mother. I don't even know sure the dad has anything to say at that point, and with other physicians. And together we will decide the next step. Together we will decide the next step for that infant that survived your effort to abort it just nearby. The next step is what? Kill it or keep it alive. That's how far the left has gotten. Not every member of the Democrat Party would accept that, but if you're going to be honest, that's what your party is doing. And also what your party is doing with some of the elections and the people they put up, you are causing and encouraging war on police. Well, I've got a perfect example for you. It involves a guy who's supposed to be prosecuting and defending police. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Pretty woman walking down the street, pretty woman, the kind I like to meet pretty woman.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, as I was mentioning earlier, Fred Flights, the CEO and president of Center for Security, could not join us today to talk about John Bolton's book. He was a staffer for Bolton and a friend of him for 30 years. He was going to, but he sent me an email last night. Larry, I just got invited to a meeting at the White House. They're going to unveil a new Mideast peace plan. I need to be there. He said, and I understand why, and now we're understanding what the plan is. President Trump calling for a two-state solution to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He did so along with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. This news just breaking. Basically, they're looking at presenting a two-state solution tunnel connecting the West Bank and Gaza. That's just a thumbnail sketch of it. It's going to be more, obviously, to come. Now they're waiting to see if the Palestinians will come on board. See if there's some way to end decades-long conflict between Israel and Palestine. We'll see. There'll be more coming up on the local news. And, of course, we'll have more on it tomorrow as well. So I mentioned there's a prosecutor that should be helping and standing with police, but is showing he's not going to be for police. This is the newly installed district attorney in San Francisco, Chesa Boudin, I guess. Chesa Boudin. That sounds like it's Creole to me, and that's why I'm going with it. Chesa Boudin. I could be wrong. I'm not trying to mispronounce it. He has dropped charges against a man that police shot several times last month after the guy attacked them with a vodka bottle, ran away, and then attacked them again. Well, obviously, rank-and-file officers are furious that the prosecutor deciding to not pursue criminal charges against this guy who had attacked police officers with a glass bottle. That started, then they began to shoot. It's a violent criminal act against police. And the district attorney in San Francisco, nah, let's go with the guy that's on the street with a vodka bottle. That's what they're going to have out in California. It's going to be more of that. And if you're not going to back up your men and women wearing a badge to stand between you and the rest of the society, the thug side, it's not going to be pretty for you guys living in California, be it San Francisco or elsewhere. And by the way, California now moving forward to shut down a large homeless site at an Oakland Home Depot. They have something like 40 to 100 homeless that have been camping out on the lot outside an Oakland Home Depot. They kept building and building. So finally the city is saying, look, we're going to break it up. We're going to give you a chance to do something else. We're going to be offering shelter beds, space at a community cabin site that should be ready in March. And those living in RVs will be moved to some other area. In other words, you can't just simply pop up a homeless area and say we're taking it over. Well, you can in California. And in fact, when you look at a question for voters in California, the Sacramento Bee is reporting a new survey by the Public Policy Institute of California asked, what is your number one issue going into the 2020 presidential primary? Asking California voters, what is your number one issue? Homelessness. Homelessness. They estimate more than 150,000 are homeless in California, and the number's growing. The survey finds a plurality of Democrats, Republicans, and independents likely to vote agree that homelessness is the most important issue for their governor and state lawmakers to work on in 2020. 21% of Democrats and independents said it's our top issue, compared to 29% of Republicans. Then, of course, then comes housing affordability and the environment for Democrats. Republicans more concerned about immigration and taxes. See, the Republicans have noticed immigration adds to the homelessness. Democrats are looking at, well, housing not being affordable adds to the homelessness. It certainly can. But if you continue to be a sanctuary city, a sanctuary state, and you have more people coming in because they know they can hide out as illegals and no one's going to bother them, they're not going to be turned over to ICE, it's going to create a bigger homeless issue. This is not that hard to figure out. Any grade school child, if you show them these options, could say, yeah, that's going to happen. But the Democrats in California just want to go around with their eyes closed, walk right past the homeless and don't pay attention until it's on their backyard, and then let's move it out, move it over. And don't bother calling the police now, because if they show up, they might be attacked by a guy with a vodka bottle, and police can't do anything except run, because the district attorney will not back them up. You voted them in. You got what you voted for. Coming up in the next hour, naked liberal hate. More on the Kobe helicopter crash and Dr. Lamero with his prediction of which Democrat is going to end up facing Donald Trump. That's coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.